Well, good morning, everyone. Pray that you had a great Christmas time and that we even have a better New Year's. Amen? Yes. You know, I'm kind of glad we're getting out of 2024. Kind of see, that's almost a bad year, you know? I'm just praying that 2025 would just be so much different and better and more of what we can serve the Lord and see His leading and that His power would reign and work through us as His body. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to start with verse 24. Well, let's do 24 too. I like that one as well. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. And you know, that is so very true in our lives. But I see that more and more we've adjusted to be able to do that very thing. And it's become easy for many folks to do. I don't want to really expound on that. I probably should, but I'm letting it go. Now I want to go to verse 25. This is talking about worry. A lot of worries in our families, in our lives, and even in the world. So let's read about that. This is what Jesus said. He said, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Sometimes we don't see ourselves valued very much. But I want you to know God values you. Very much so. Verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add a cubit or a few inches to your stature? To your height. So why do you worry about clothing? It says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all, these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. And it says in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, and sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that we will take this to heart. Lord, that we can put away our worry and our concerns and our fears And Lord, that we would just put our faith and our trust in you, realizing, Lord, that you care very much for us and you will supply and you will come through for us in every need, every circumstance, and all things, Lord, that pertain to our lives. So, Father, thank you. Bring us to the point where, Lord, it's not about us, but rather, Lord, it would be about you. That we would seek you first and your kingdom above everything else. And so, Lord, we give you praise in this and thanks. Holy Spirit, deliver your word to your people. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to share about the worries and also the kingdom of God today. So let me ask you this. What is the kingdom of God? I think we all understand what worry is, right? The spiritual ones do not worry, though, right? We just are concerned. So there's a big difference, we think. So what is the kingdom? What really is the kingdom of God? The concept then of the kingdom of God is central to Jesus' teaching throughout the New Testament. It represents both the present reality and also future hope of God's reign and rule over all creation. So let's look first at present reality. The kingdom of God is already present in our lives, in the lives of believers through the work of his Holy Spirit. Luke 21, or 17:21 states this. It says, "For indeed the kingdom of God is within you." Folks, we have God right here in us. It's not that we go looking for him. He's here. He's right here in our lives. So the kingdom of God is here, his presence. Now, this emphasizes that God's rule begins in the hearts and lives of those who follow him. So his rule begins in our heart and our lives for us to follow him. The kingdom is manifest through righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, as described, therefore, in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. So, you know, the kingdom of God, you can teach that, and you can make that a law. But I want to tell you, your heart has got to be changed in order for you to be able to realize, to do, and then to just kind of sacrifice and give in to the Lord. It's got to start here. It's got to start in our heart. So the kingdom manifests its righteousness and its peace and joy. Folks, that's having faith in the Lord and really trusting in him. You know, it's really all about the Lord. It's not how good we are, or try to be, or who we think we are, but it's having a heart. And God changed your heart when we were saved, right? Well, he even went further than that. He gave you a new one. Amen. He gave you a new heart. And he placed his spirit in there. He said so that you would want to do his will and want to serve him. So the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at this one. Did you know that the kingdom of God is transformative? It's a transformative power. See, the kingdom transforms individuals and communities. So how does that happen? Let's look. Jesus likened it to leaven or yeast. in Matthew 13, 33. This is what he says. He says, which a woman took and hid. He's talking about now the yeast or the leaven. And he said, a woman took it and hid it in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. Now, what this is suggesting is that the power and the yeast that God has, his kingdom, has transformative power of God's kingdom and influence and changes those it touches. Have you ever kind of come into a people and you got two people kind of arguing, a little bit upset with each other, and you kind of get in there, and if you're a peacemaker, you kind of want to change the subject a little bit, and you kind of get in, you get to talking. Well, if you do it right and with sincerity, you know that that angry attitude between the two can change. I'm not saying they might fall in love with each other, you know, at the end and want a hug, but I'm saying you can kind of turn the tide a little bit on the argument. Or you can be like a lot of them, you can make it worse. I was at the airport one time, where I worked at the airport a lot, and these three guys came out of the bar, and this one guy was complaining with the other one and wanting to really do him bodily harm. And the other guy say, no, no, that's not what I meant. That's not what I'm said. I'm sorry about that. And then the third guy said, well, I think them are fighting words. I'm like, he wasn't a peacemaker, was he? But see, that's how a lot of things go. And you can have an angry person move in to a group of people, and if you don't watch yourself, what happens? That mood kind of goes through the whole crowd, right? Just takes one. Kind of like a bad apple and a bunch of good ones. Now, all of the good ones are not going to make that bad one good, right? It's the other way around. Well, see, this is how the kingdom works. What's in your heart? Are you surrendering to God? Are you walking, determined to walk in righteousness, in joy, in love, in compassion to others? And I'm telling you, and God's word is saying that we change the world by that. We make the world good. We can change moods and attitudes in groups of people, in your family. You know, at times I want to argue with my wife. And she'll just kind of change the subject, talk about something else. I'm like, well, we missed that one. And I'm glad she did it, you know, I don't know why I do that. I think it keeps her on her toes, maybe. But anyway, there's times that she says things that might kind of get me a little bit, and I just not say anything. Or I'll just mention something else, and we're totally off the subject. But folks, that's how we need to do. It's like we want God to work in our lives. We want lives changed in people. A lot of times we think that when we go witness and share with people that we've got to be those that we got to have all the right words and we got to be able to say the right things. And how did that class go on how to share Jesus with people? And a lot of times, folks, it's just loving people. It's being around. It's caring for them. It's encouraging them. It's showing them grace and mercy. And God uses that. See, that's how the kingdom works. I'm talking about, what is the kingdom? Well, the kingdom is in here. It begins in our heart. It changes our attitude. And then God uses it to change others' attitude. There's people I love to be around because they encourage me. They're just kind of bubbly and nice, and you know, they really encourage me. And it's not always just the things they say, although that definitely helps. But it's just sometimes their attitude. You just feel comfortable. And there's others I try to avoid. I think you know what I'm talking about. So this woman takes just a little bit of the yeast or the leaven, and she takes a piece of it and puts it in three different lumps. So it's taking just a little bit and putting it in a lot. You see, it only takes a little bit. It only takes a little bit of the kingdom. Doesn't Jesus talk about the mustard seed in your faith? If you just had the mustard seed size of faith, he said, then you could say unto this mountain, be thou lifted and cast into the sea, and it would obey you. It's not the quantity. I hear people all the time say, well, I just don't have enough faith. Well, how much do you need? God says you only need a little bit. He said this woman just took a little bit and put some in each loaf, and it was enough for all of it. So there's no excuses. It's like we can do it, amen? Instead of saying, well, you know, I just can't. So again, in this parable, the leaven represents the kingdom of heaven and its small beginnings. Might not be immediately noticeable. However, over time, like the leaven that permeates the entire batch of dough, the kingdom quickly grows and expands until its influence is fully realized. I want the Holy Spirit to really say this to you. I just want to be just kind of frank, if I can. Our gym, whatever. But anyway, Karen. But anyway, I hear this in the church sometimes. Well, we don't have any young people. So we're really kind of a dying church if we don't change. Then others are thinking, well, we need a young pastor to draw the young people. And we have all these excuses. Kind of sounds like the nursing home I went to. I'd preach my heart out, and it's like they never changed. Good people. I loved them. Had a great time with them. But they would never change because they were there to die. And just to enjoy what little life they had left. So it's like, what can I do? Well, sometimes we get that attitude in a group of us when we just simply concentrate on things that are around us rather than looking and concentrating on what Jesus says. Folks, I'm going to tell you, as old people, we've been around the block. We've been through it. You have. The young people haven't yet. So we got a lot to offer if they're smart enough to receive it from us. Amen? Man, I was probably 25 or 26 before I even thought my dad knew anything. Been there? I said, man, where'd Dad get all that wisdom? And here I was the one that was dumber than a box of rocks because I wouldn't listen to him. And so people, when they don't listen, what do? They learn everything the hard way. And then you got the old people that know the Lord are praying for them, trying to get them through it. Because they're too dumb to turn the light on. But folks, that's just excuses. We don't need to limit ourselves. We need to think big. Concentrate on what God says and what His Word says. Let the kingdom go to work. God, You said. We got people that are getting sick, and I mean bad, to where they can even die from this. It's like curses. And then we think we're at the mercy of this junk. But I want to tell you, we're not. God is a great physician. Jesus said, I paid the price for that, and you're just letting it happen. He said, I was scourged for those sins and for all of the diseases and sicknesses that come down. We receive it like a bad salesman trying to sell you something that you don't want. And yet we open a door and we take it just trying to get rid of them, right? And then we're stuck with the junk that we bought that we didn't want to begin with. And that's the way it is with a lot of this sickness. Folks, we need to put our foot down and see, we don't understand that. We don't understand how healing works and how faith works and how the kingdom of God works. And we need to. It's life and death. You know, the leper went to Jesus, and what did he say to him? He said, Lord, if you will, you could heal me. And most other people would back off and say, hey, don't touch me. But Jesus reached down and touched him, and he said this. He says, I will be healed. And that's your answer, our answer for healing. God says, I will. But so we got to learn how to get stuff, and that's our problem, is learning how to receive. It's all available. Everybody says, well, that all died with the disciples. Well, then what hope do we have? Is salvation available? Because the disciples are dead. We throw the Holy Spirit out, a lot of people do. They don't want His gifts or anything to do with Him. We don't need Him. Oh, go away, Holy Spirit. We don't really need You. You stay in the other room. And we do that with God too and Jesus. See, we put Him in the closet. And then when we need Him, we'll open up and say, hey, I got this problem. Then the Lord heals us, and then we shut the door. Where do you think they got the genie in the bottle at? You got your little genie bottle? Well, oh, God, I need a healing. Of course, we walk most of our life without knowing God or even wanting anything to do with God. Then all of a sudden we have that need, and then we cry out to Him. You know, I know that this is none of you, but I share it because there's other people out there that need to hear it. Amen. So don't throw it away just because it's not for you. Let's put it in our little knowledge bag. And you can reach out and pull that out when somebody comes to you and they complain about their healing and this problem and they're worried about that and don't know what to do with this problem and they feel down and left out. Build them up. Say, man, this is not what God intends for you. There's hope. You know, influences can be good and bad. Matthew 16:6 says this. It says, without Jesus, or it says, watch out. Jesus warned them, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the scribes. Pharisees wanted nothing to do with Jesus. They really wasn't following God. They just wanted to look good and people to look up to them and see how honorable they were. And all they did was talked about the law and made laws. And the Lord says, you make all of these laws, and he said, you put them on the people and then you don't even use a little finger to even help them. Folks, we got to be careful of bad influences. People talking negative all the time, and it's like, I don't want to hear it. I got enough of my own. Don't add anything to it. Let's talk positive. Let's talk about God. Wow, that'd be a good thing to talk about. You know, even in the church, sin sneaks in. And you know that in Paul's time with the church in Corinth, they had a problem. It's recorded in 1 Corinthians 5:5, where this guy there was married his father's wife, hopefully ex-wife, but anyway, he married her. And Paul said, you got to deal with it. See, a lot of times we let things go on and let things happen. But we need to deal with it. Sometimes we get sin in our family. Folks, we need to deal with it. Until my daughter was really aggravated and she started talking loud and everything, talking to her mother. And I was standing, so I put my hand on her forehead and I cast that demon out in Jesus' name. That attitude isn't coming in here. And you should have seen her attitude change. It changed. Just her countenance, the anger was gone. I'm not saying it was a demon, but at least I took a stand that it is not welcomed in our house. And Paul said, you can't let something like that in the church. If a little bit of that junk will permeate the whole body. That's what's in churches today a lot of times. They got bad yeast. So you have to be careful of that. You have to address it. And that's hard to do, I know. But yet you need to do that. Also in Acts 8:18. Remember when Paul and or Peter and John went to Samaria after they heard that the people were saved there? They were all Christians. Even Simon, that is going to talk about here, was saved himself. Well, Simon was a sorcerer, received the Lord, and then he was around Peter and John as they were laying hands on people and they received the Holy Spirit. And then Simon went to him, said, man, I like this power. Every time you lay hands on somebody, the Holy Spirit comes on them with power. He said, here, I'll give you money for that gift. And Peter right away, Peter, he got with him right away. And how dare you to even think that you could buy and purchase with money the gift of God? He said, you have no place with God at all. He says, I see that you're full of jealousy and anger. And he says, pray to God that maybe he'll forgive you for this thought. Thought. And Simon was so worried about it, he says, you pray for me that this won't come upon me. This was a new convert. He didn't know. And yet Peter said, hey, you got to deal with this. And it was for his sake, also the church. So sometimes there's bad influences out there. But you know, with the kingdom that we receive, do y'all know that we're called to action? You're saved. You're called to action. You really are. God needs you and will work through you. And so you're called to action. Believers are called to seek and promote the kingdom's values. And Jesus instructs, he says in Matthew 6:33, he says, you need to seek first the kingdom of God. And then he says, all of these other things will be added unto you. Let me read the whole thing. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things shall be added to you. So this calls believers to prioritize God's reign and his principles in our daily lives. So it's kind of like this is the end of 2024, right? So are you satisfied where you're at and what we're doing for 24? Or do we need more? Do we want more? Do we really want the kingdom of God working in our lives? You know, because it takes change. It's like at the Christmas program, we talked about that change was going to take place. It used to be all by law. Well, the baby came, and everybody went to see him, and they were rejoicing from it. Even the angels came and testified and sang. But things were going to change. And do you ever notice how people hate change? They really do. We hate change. I don't know whether it brings on fear because you don't know how it's going to work out. But see, that's the kind of change God demands. It's no longer by the law, but we're to walk by grace. And then the Lord says the kingdom of God is in our heart. And that's righteousness and good, and it's love. And it permeates wherever we go if we use it. So what do we want to do? We want to go on. Is that what we want to do, is go on and, you know, not step out on the edge as such? You know, the Lord, my wife always tells me, I talk to her about different things. She says, you're such a dreamer. I said, no, I'm not a dreamer. I'm a visionary. Amen? I'm not afraid of change. Folks, when we were called to Michigan to preach at a little church in Pellston, we gathered up our family. And we made that 1,400 mile trip or whatever it was.
It's like
700. Oh, 700? Oh. Sounds more dramatic, 1,400. All right, 700 miles. And we came up here. Do you know what the church paid us? Of course, they did have a parsonage. You know, it was almost like, it was a little better than the stable, a lot better than the stable. But it wasn't anything fancy, but we were happy. So we had a place to stay. We had three kids. We gathered another one from the village that was having a hard time with her parents. She came and lived with us. We had a dog and we had a car payment, and they paid us $125 a week. That's what we lived on. Family of six and a half, counting a dog, and a car payment. Well, my mom bought a policy, insurance policy, life insurance on me for, I think it was $10,000 when I was in Vietnam in case something happened that, you know, that would be good to maybe do a burial and whatnot. Well, it was all paid up, so she gave it to me while we were here in Michigan. Well, we cashed it in and got like $4,000, and we bought a little old camper so that the kids could do something. We couldn't even afford McDonald's. And that's when you got change back. So we bought this little camper, and I parked it there in the driveway at the church parsonage. And one Sunday, I was standing outside, and these two older ladies were coming in, and they were talking to each other. And the one lady said to the other, said, "You know, see, pastor's got a camper. Do you see that?" And the other lady says, "Yeah, I seen that." And she said this to the other lady, "She think we're paying them too much?" But folks, this is where we're at. We've got to learn to seek God, seek the kingdom first, and all of these other things will be added to us. So, you know, what do we want to do? I'm not afraid of change. I love change. I love the excitement in it. I love to put it all in front of God and just see how he works it out. It's exciting to see what God does with things. Things that are impossible. A lot of times I'd even pray and I didn't even know how to tell God how to fix it. We don't do that, do we? Tell God how to fix things. Maybe some of us do. Now I just leave it up to God. I say, "God, you got a problem." That's all I say. "God, you got a problem." The Lord says, "I'm good at problems." And he does it the impossible way. Man, we just didn't get Jesus, but it had to be born by a virgin. Folks, don't tell me my God, our God, is not somebody we can depend on. He loves us. But folks, we've got to step out in faith. We've got to learn to trust him and say, "God, what do you want us to do? Where do you want us to go? Lord, we don't care what it costs. We don't care what it looks like." He says, when you put your hand to the plow, he says, "Don't look back. Don't look back. But you keep your eyes ahead, you keep going forward." So once you start, once you make that decision, there's no turning back. You can't be a quitter. You got to keep your hands to the plow. It won't be easy at times. But I tell you, God will take you through. I relish the move of God in my life. You know, even as I share this, what are you going to do for next year? I mean, my prayer is even to God. I said, God, I know that I'm probably not able to take them where they need to go. I don't feel confident in that area as such. But I said, Lord, I know I can't do it, but I know you can. And so that puts my dependency on him. And that's the same one with you. You want to make a change? You're going to go different for 25? You see bad things happen? What are you going to do? Realize that you're not going to change it. But you know who can and will. So our trust needs to be in the Lord, not in the pastor, not in the eldership, not in any leadership. Yes, you trust them and you honor them, but you trust God through them. It's God. Amen? Oops, I got more, but I'm going to... You know I love you, right? And I'm going to share the truth with you. When God gives me something, I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to give it to you in the best way I know how, and that is in love. And my prayer is, God, you help them to understand it and do with it what you want them to do with it. That's why I'm so good at making people angry. I make myself angry sometimes, I think. So, folks, I love you. Next year, it's a big year. But I want to tell you, if you don't make up your mind to make changes, there won't be too many more years that you'll be here, because either the rapture or we'll go to meet Jesus. You want young people to come? You have to change. A lot of young people don't come now because they're not getting what they want or what they need. They're going to other churches to get it. So I think we need to change. We need to let the Lord lead, however that is. And he'll take us there. All we got to do is commit and say, Lord, whatever. We're following. We want to go with you. You know, we still don't have all the denominationalism out of us. A lot of denominationalism still there. It's hard to get rid of sometimes. It's hard to deal with. But we need to change. The kingdom is right here. It's right here. You use it. Use it or lose it. Amen? Father, may your people be blessed. May it be your word, Lord, that was shared. Father, let them take it into their hearts and minds. You transform it and make it real to all of us, Lord. What can we do? How can we walk? How can we make a difference? Lord, let the kingdom, your kingdom, be alive and well in our hearts and our lives. You've called us, Lord. Now use us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read this blessing to you, folks. I'm telling you, claim this blessing for yourselves. It's yours. God told the priest way back when, he says, I want you to bless my people. If you speak over them, then I can bless them. And it says this. The Lord bless you and keep you, protect you, sustain you, and guard you. The Lord make his face shine upon you with favor and be gracious to you, surrounding you with loving kindness. The Lord be lifted up, or the Lord lift up his countenance, that is his face, upon you with divine approval. I believe he's smiling at us, looking on us and say, oh, I love you. Please understand and realize how much I love you. And give you peace. That's a tranquil heart of life. Amen.